Next, The Lawyer You Know with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos.
Welcome back to another episode of The Lawyer You Know, and today we're going to break down four crazy spring break stories here from 2021. Even COVID couldn't stop this. The crazies flooded to Florida as they always do, and they went wild. And we're going to go through each one of those stories. We're going to talk about what happens if you commit a crime or get injured or something while you're away on spring break, how it follows you back home, what you got to do, where you got to hire a lawyer. We're going to answer all those questions and break down the facts of each one of these videos. So thanks for listening. Hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. Every year, people flood the beaches of Florida to soak up the sun and put their toes in the powdery white sand. But without fail, the crazies always come out.
Every time.
Something about Florida that brings the crazy out of people, whether it's heat stroke or too many margaritas. Yep. Stuff always goes down and it always follows you home because unlike what happens in Vegas, in Florida, you're going to need a lawyer.
That's right.
When this stuff happens.
Because in Florida, you go on vacation and you leave on probation. You come back on a violation.
Yeah, so we're going to break down a bunch of different stories today, one a little crazier than the next. And starting with the first story that happened right here in our backyard in Clearwater Beach, the number one beach in America. Talk about what happened. Let's watch this video and break it down, but give us just the headline. What happened?
Right. Spring break, arrested handcuffed kid makes a getaway and the beach goes wild.
All right, so we're going to play this video. We're going to react to it. We're doing a video for YouTube. We're recording it for a podcast. So for the podcast, you're not going to be able to see the video. You may hear our description. But we're going to describe what's going on audibly so you can hear it. But we're also going to watch it. If you're watching on YouTube, we'll do a little screen and screen so you can see us react to the video. We'll go ahead and play it. So the video starts with basically a huge crowd of people around a police car. Somebody had just been arrested, a kid on the beach. There's hundreds of people. There are thousands of people really there. And as you see, it looks like somebody from a crowd or a group of people, maybe a friend of the kid that was arrested, sneakily opens the cop car door. Mm-hmm. And a little blonde kid with blue, blue bathing suit gets out with his shirt off. And just
handcuffed.
Starts sprinting, even though he's handcuffed. Yeah, blue bathing suit. He's just sprinting, even though he's handcuffed, down the beach. And then the full crowd follows him. So let's pause this video now and let's jump to the next one. Because what happens? What happens when you do this? When you run away from police? No, I'm saying let's play the video because we're going to see what happens.
All right, video number two.
Video number two. So eventually, and this has my favorite sound blurb with it where it's, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 and then boom, here we go.
And here's
cop has a gun, or probably a taser,
yep.
In his hand, pointed at Mr. Blue Shorts, who's handcuffed and has gotten tired from running with his hands cuffed, and here's the slow-mo version of it.
Because right about this point, he realizes he doesn't know where he's going.
Yeah, and you can only get so far while you're handcuffed and with a crowd of people following you, and at this point, it's over for him, and he has now been arrested, and congratulations. What did he get for his efforts of running away?
He gets count two of the information.
Which is fleeing and eluding. So he's going to have the original charges that he got arrested for, whatever that may be, disorderly conduct or something of that nature. Now he's got fleeing and eluding, potentially resisting arrest without violence, additional misdemeanor charges stacked on top of each other, all for something stupid he did in spring break. But he's not the only one. Who else may have criminal charges in this video?
Mr. Aiding and Abetting, I open up the police car door to help my buddy get out. He's got some problems.
And you can clearly see who it is in this video. He sneaks in and kind of looks around and just pops the handle of the door. The door opens and the kid runs out, pushes the door, and sprints away. What about liability or criminal charges for the entirety of the huge crowd that's running after the kid, fleeing and eluding his arrest?
Truth is, they didn't do anything wrong. Being a bystander and enjoying the scenery is not a crime. I mean, the fact that, you know, if something's going down and you're watching doesn't make you an accessory to any crime.
And it's, I mean, you're just taking in the sights at that point, enjoying the crazy.
Like, what is
happening
here?
You're just living at spring break. So let's move on to story and video number two, Popeyes.
This one is my personal favorite. Florida Popeyes drive-thru turns into wild brawl and robbery. The video shows it all.
So once again, we're going to watch the video here. We'll explain it. You can go to YouTube if you want to see it at the same time, screen and screen, but we're also just going to kind of explain it for the podcast.
There it is.
All right, here we go. So this person waiting in the back of the drive-thru line sees a brawl breakout.
All this over a chicken sandwich? I mean, is this why this thing started? I'm sure it is.
I've never had it because, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't feel like waiting in line for a Popeyes. I like Chick-fil-A myself.
Yeah, and but. For everybody that's not watchers, or you're watchers, it is a knockdown fist
like
fight.
Four different ladies come up here and beat down them. I don't know why the person at Popeyes doesn't just pull back and shut
just
the window.
Shut the window? Yeah.
But, I mean, it's crazy. So then what happens afterwards is... Not only do they beat the crap out of this cashier, but they also stick their hand in the cash register and steal cash out of the cash register. And what do they get for that? What do they get for their efforts again?
They got count two again. This time it's going to be, what is it, burglary?
Battery and strong-armed burglary.
Oh, my God. Oh, strong-armed robbery.
Strong-armed robbery, yeah. I mean, it's insane what is going to happen to these ladies over a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I heard there was some spitting and some name-calling and things like that, but it's like... Is this really worth it?
I mean, I'm trying to figure out at what point, I guess they realize they're all going to go into jail anyway, so we might as well get a couple bucks out of it. I mean, what happens here?
I don't understand it. So that is story number two, crimes being charged for spring breakers. Again, don't know what's causing people to go crazy, but it seems to be happening when they come to Florida on spring break. At least this one's not in our backyard. The next story comes out of Miami.
All right. 100 people have been arrested and two police officers have been injured as spring break crowd gathers in Florida's Miami Beach.
So there's a huge crowd of over 100 people surrounding police officers. They're disorderly, they're angry, they're taunting the police officers. They end up beating down two police officers, and the two police officers that were injured were hospitalized. The injuries were so severe that it caused them to be hospitalized. 100 people were arrested.
I mean, the level of this crazy.
When we're talking about 100 people getting arrested, talk about how unusual that is. We just talked about on the beach, the whole crowd is running. Yeah, are they maybe helping this guy escape or making it harder, obstructing justice, yeah. Trying to make it harder for that kid to get arrested by the cops because now the cop doesn't know which running kid is the kid that was arrested, except the handcuffs are probably a good clue. But, like, they didn't arrest the whole crowd. It doesn't make sense to arrest 100 people at once. But here...
But this is a brawl.
They did.
Here's the problem. Well, let's start with this. Normally, arrests happen during spring break. This is not odd, but if you look statistically, you'll see like 15, 20, 30 arrests during the course of an entire spring break. 100 people to get arrested at one time is insane. First of all,
imagine the paperwork.
How did they do it? You'd have to get police officers and zip ties, because how do you get control of all these people?
I don't know
how
they all went to a jail. They probably couldn't. They couldn't possibly have all gone to jail.
And then how do you even corral these people? Because at some point, you know...
Somebody's got to run, right?
That's what I'm thinking. How many people were really there?
I don't get it. So, I mean, you talk about... What these people are doing when there's 100 people just standing there waiting to get handcuffed. I mean, I just can't imagine that's happening. Number two, I don't know how they put them in the jail. How long would that paperwork take to arrest 100 people? But it was obviously serious if two officers end up in the hospital injured.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's no joke either. I remember one time when I was at the state attorney's office, there was a charge that I was prosecuting of an open container. Very serious case, okay? Kid on spring break, underage drinking, with an open container walking across the beach. Technically a crime, right? In Florida, Pinellas County, that's technically a crime. So I was prosecuting it. I called the investigating officer, the arresting officer, to ask him about it. Say, hey, what did the kid look like? What was he doing? What do you remember? He goes, I have no clue. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know who he, I don't have anything to do with this guy. You don't want me to testify. I'm like, well, you're the only person that can testify. So I'm like, what are you doing? So these officers, I mean, they don't care about half these charges, to be honest. They just, you know, they're just there doing the best they can. They make some arrests on spring break to try to keep it civilized. Sometimes you got to make an example. You arrest one kid that's a little disorderly, and you don't have to deal with everybody else. And that's kind of what happens a lot of times on spring break. And I think in my case, we ended up dropping the charges.
And I was going to say, that happens
point,
a lot.
We couldn't prosecute them. So with these 100 people that were arrested, I can only imagine most of the charges are going to get dropped.
Right. And I think what happens, you're right, is a lot of times the cops aren't jerks for the most part. They know kids are out there having a good time. They get it. This is our economy. But, I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, when two cops end up in the hospital, you've got to arrest some people and make an example. 100 people? I mean, that's pretty insane.
That's kind of a big deal.
All right. So the last and potential craziest story from spring break from this week. He probably wasn't a spring breaker, if I had to guess, but spring break age.
But he is an overachiever.
All right. So what happened?
A 19-year-old previously arrested 37 times tied to a Clearwater drive-by shooting by his ankle monitor.
So there's a lot to unpack here, but there's a 19-year-old kid on Drew Street and 19, which I could throw a rock at from our office.
Two blocks from here.
Gets arrested for murder. He's 19 years old. He's out on bond with an ankle monitor and has been arrested 37 times.
This guy is a champion.
So we've already gotten some questions from our friends and family about this since it's in our backyard. We've just been getting the text and people just reaching out saying, how is it possible that someone is out on the streets, out on bail, when they've had 37 arrests? How's that possible? All right.
I'm speculating.
Right, we don't know this guy, but
because
we're just guessing.
Because he's 19 years old, I would guess the vast majority of his arrest happened when he was a minor. So all of these things would not have caused him to be incarcerated because he's a minor. He's
a
kid.
A big difference when you have an arrest as a minor, stealing a stick of gum or whatever it may be. I mean, he seems to be a little harder than that. But, you know, minor arrests are not as serious as adult arrests and adult charges like what he's got now. Now, murder at any age is going to be taken seriously. These 37 arrests he had before could not have been for murder, if I had to guess. But how is he out? How is he out on bond? I mean, with that many arrests, how is that possible?
Well, he's probably out on bond for whatever adult crime he's been arrested of. He's got an ankle monitor. I'll tell you, we're in COVID, so the jail's kind of packed, so they're making decisions strategically about who they can release and who they have to keep.
Yeah, this was a miss. They should have kept him in jail. So what happens is, they use his ankle monitor to trace him, and they find out that he was in the restaurant, the same restaurant as the victims, an hour before they were murdered. He was in the vicinity of the drive-by shooting at the murder, but then after he did all this, he decides to cut off his ankle monitor.
That's where you went wrong, Toombs.
It's like, dude, why didn't you cut it off before you did all this, number one, or just leave it off and say, there had to be 500 people in that restaurant. How do you know it was me? I could have.
I was just having lunch.
Burger King or whatever. Yeah, everybody was eating there. So, I mean, this guy just, he lets them track him through the whole murder. Maybe it wasn't premeditated. Maybe he got mad at them at the restaurant, decided to do this on a whim. But then he cuts the ankle monitor off after, I guess he's going to try to run, but they end up catching him and arresting him. And it's now he's in trouble.
We call that a mens rea problem. He actually thought about it because, like, man, I probably cut this off.
Man, it's just such a crazy case to think that people like this exist and that this happens. So that begs more questions from people, one of which is there a limit to the maximum amount of times you can get arrested before they just say, all right, arrest number 40, I don't care what happened in those other cases, you're going to jail for the rest of your life?
Technically, no. There's no limit. You can be arrested for as many times as you get arrested. There are things that can be done. The prosecutors are starting to use these tools more and more. They are called habitualizations. So there's actually a crime, habitual misdemeanant, a habitual traffic offender, and all it does is it increases the possible penalty from one level of offense to another.
But by definition, those habitual charges and enhancements are all small crimes and small bad things that you do, which is why they say, if you do so many little bad things, now you're a big bad guy, right? So it's not 37 murders. It's habitual traffic offenders are like, you lost your driver's license, but you work, so you keep driving without a driver's license, and you get arrested for it 15 times, and you've been charged or convicted with it. You're a habitual traffic offender now. We're not just going to take your word for it that you're going to go get your insurance or you're going to go get your license. Now you're going to go to jail because you keep breaking the law. Even though it's, you know, not the worst thing you can do, driving without a license, it's not like murder, but they still make it worse. So that's why sometimes when you see a lot of arrests, it can build up to something like that. But the major difference is, explain a little bit about the sentencing guidelines. We've done an entire podcast about this, and there's tons of information. But explain the difference about somebody who, if it's their first or second arrest, versus how they look at this guy when he has 37 arrests, even though he's obviously not in prison for any of them at the moment, but they still look at it differently, especially when they charge and sentence people.
Sure. In Florida, we have a sentencing scheme that has a sentencing guideline score sheet. That score sheet takes all the times you've been arrested in the past, and it gives it a certain number of points based on the previous criminal charge. So obviously, you know, open container is going to be less points than attempted murder. So when you add all those points up to whatever your current charge is, it changes your score. So it changes the bottom of where the judge can sentence
you. So for example, if you get 1 point for open container, you get 5 points for a DUI, you get 10 points for a battery or robbery or something like that, then you add those 16 points up to whatever your charge is now, and now you're looking at 5 years in prison instead of just 1 month if you had 1 point, or you know, 12 months or whatever it may be. All those points affect how long you can potentially go to prison, and the more arrests you have, the more convictions, the more charges you have, that's what ups the point. So it does make a difference. It's not just like, it doesn't matter how many times you get arrested, but there's no set maximum number you can get arrested in your life. And this guy was testing those bounds. It seems like hopefully this is the last one. So as an overarching theme, when you go away or go to a different state for spring break and something like one of these four crazy stories happens to you, or you get involved somehow, you open the cop door, you are in the crowd of 100 people that get arrested in Miami, you're Mr. Blue Shorts who runs away until it's too, till you realize you got nowhere to go, and you get arrested. How do you deal with that? What state are you charged in? What state do you have to go to deal with these criminal penalties? What state do you want to hire a lawyer in? Explain how to deal with that if you go to another state for spring break or for vacation and something like this, God forbid, happens.
All right. If this happens in Florida, you're going to be charged in Florida because Florida is where the crime actually occurred. The question about where to hire a lawyer gets complicated. It really depends on the crime, but you know, normally you would hire a lawyer, especially for something simple, in the local area wherever it happened. You know, just need local counsel. Now, if it's more serious, like murder, you may be looking. That's right.
But I think in reality, what you should do is, if you know a lawyer in the area, great. If you know someone in the area, like you came here to visit family, and you've got an uncle who's a doctor or something, and he knows a lawyer, ask him.
Sure.
And if you can't get one that way, ask a lawyer that you know locally or that you know the reputation of locally or is a good lawyer locally to help you find someone there. We do that all the time for people, and people find us that way, right? Like that we know from other states or other cities, like a Miami lawyer for something that happens up here in Tampa, they'll reach out to us and make the connection, and then we'll represent somebody here in Tampa. So you want a lawyer in the area where the crime occurred so that they know those state laws, they know those judges, they know how the prosecutors and how the cops work in those areas. They know if they're going to be able to get rid of an open container or a battery or a fleeing and eluding because they don't take spring break so seriously here in Pinellas County versus some county that may take it seriously. I'm not saying that's true because it's in fact
actually the opposite.
True. Yeah. Pinellas County is about as strict as you can get, which is funny since it's number one beach in the world. But you want to know those things. You want to know what's going on locally. So you definitely want a lawyer in the area where the crime occurred. If you have a local lawyer in your town working on it too, that's fine. But you definitely want somebody that knows the way the world works in the place where the crime occurred. So what do they do as far as appearances? And if you have to come to court, do they make you come back to Florida? Do they make you come back to the state where the crime occurred? How does that work?
Again, it depends. The truth of the matter is you're going to be seeing the judge right about the time you're sitting in the jail cell. They're going to have your initial appearance. If you get out on bond and you live somewhere else, chances are the judge is going to let you travel back home to your home of residence. Sometimes the courts are going to keep you locally, depending again on how the seriousness of the crime. But for the most part, you're not going to have to come back for every hearing, but you need to get a lawyer to solidify this.
I mean,
stuff.
Just to give some better examples, some concrete examples, Popeye's drive-thru, they may go to jail, they may not be able to go back to their house. Kid in the blue shorts who probably got arrested for disorderly conduct and fleeing and eluding, he's probably going to be allowed to go home. He's probably a college student.
Yeah, he'll post bond.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's different. You know, those, though, if it's a less serious crime and it was a stupid spring break crime, they'll let you go home. But you're going to have to come here for court appearances. You're going to have to come here to plea out probably. I mean, COVID aside, a lot of stuff's still happening by Zoom, so he may not come back for those reasons. But generally speaking, you're going to have to travel back because, like I said, this ain't like what happens in Vegas.
Right.
What happens in Florida, you're going to have to come back here. It does follow you, and you're going to need a lawyer for whatever happened to you in Florida on spring break.
And a good lawyer normally can get pleas and deals made in absentia.
Right.
But again, you're going to have to get a lawyer to do that.
You can explain what that is if you want real quick.
Yeah, what happens is a plea in absentia means that the court can take your plea, for example, of no contest or not guilty or whatever the case may be, from your lawyer when you're not here, but there are some safeguards that have to be put together. There's paperwork involved, and you know a lawyer knows how to do it. You probably should not try this alone.
And usually you can get it. Sometimes the judge wants to teach you a lesson and make you come back, but
yeah,
usually you can get it done. Like, we've had clients that run businesses out of state, run charities, and it just wouldn't make sense to make them come back, and the judge will let us do a plea in absentia, whatever it is. You got to have reasoning for it. And then the last difference is every state is a little bit different with how they deal with criminal charges and criminal penalties. Some states you lose your driver's license for some criminal penalties. So that could be different state to state. If you commit something here in Florida, you may lose your license in your state. Or you may not be able to drive in Florida if you're here. You may have to pay certain different fines. You may lose your job or your license depending on what it is in your state and what you do if you have a licensing board that you've got to tell that you've committed a crime in another state. So there are some differences, which is why you might also want to talk to a local lawyer or explain to the lawyer in the town where the crime occurred what you do, where you are, so they can cross-check that and see what the potential penalties might be.
The worst thing to do, and I mean this happens every year, ignore it. You got a citation on the beach for an open container, crumpling it up and throwing away and pretending it didn't happen is a bad decision. Because what will happen is you'll get arrested in your home state, 6 years from now when you get a traffic pulled over in a traffic citation.
Yeah, what happens if you get arrested and you just leave and forget about it? What happens?
A warrant will be put out for your arrest. And let me give you the worst case scenario. 6 years from now, you get pulled over by a police officer because your tags are expired. They run your name and find out there's a warrant in Florida for you. They then take you into custody and you sit in the county jail of your hometown for, 60 days until Florida decides where they want to come get you or not.
Yeah, so that, I mean, just ignoring it and not doing anything and pretending like it didn't happen because it was a stupid break mistake, that's the worst thing you can do. So, make sure you deal with your problems. It's crazy every year, so if you're going to come down next year, just expect the unexpected and expect the craziness to happen. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll be back with you next time.
You've been listening to The Lawyer You Know with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos Sartis & Tragos in Clearwater discuss common legal questions, providing some insights into the legal process, and cover current events as they relate to the legal field. Listen each Tuesday for The Lawyer You Know with Peter Tragos, or download The Lawyer You Know wherever you hear your podcasts.